Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Target doesn't apparently like being targeted. A man wants you to know that trans women are biological women. And Joy Behar wants you to know she knows better than Tim Scott and Clarence Thomas what it's like to be a black man in America. I'm Andrew Coppins. He's Pat Oney. This is a WTF Wednesday here on Critical Thinking. If you know anything from that opener, if you know where we're going with any of these things, folks, I'm going to put this in the top five of the most insane WTF Wednesdays that we might have ever come across. I don't know about you, Pat.
It's certainly up there.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely up there. Now, folks, before we get into the meat of the program, do not forget, we will be gone both tomorrow and Friday and Monday, in observance of Memorial Day. And may I make a small suggestion? If you get a chance, go to a parade. Thank, you don't even need to thank a veteran. You need to understand their sacrifice. So go to a mausoleum, go to a cemetery, partake in those Memorial Day ceremonies so that you can understand the sacrifice people have made, the aunts and uncles people never got to meet, the brothers and sisters and, you know, sons and daughters, right? The people that you never got a chance to meet and have impact your lives in the flesh. They've impacted your life in other ways. So take some time on Monday, go to those parades, go to a mausoleum, go to a cemetery, do something that can teach and pay it forward about the sacrifice that people make. Not so that we're free America biatches. No. So that those of us can live. That's exactly, those of us who are here are living off of the backs of their sacrifice. That's the reality of that situation. And people have paid a lot of prices. That includes, you know, my great uncle Cliff, I never got a chance to meet, who died literally miles and miles away from his own brother, fighting in two separate parts of, well, two, the same battle, but two separate companies in the same war. You know, that includes friends, people that came after me in high school who died during Iraq and Afghanistan wars. You know, those are people who can impact your lives and impact the lives around you. Tell their stories. Take some time to do that. So, again, we're not going to be here tomorrow or Friday or Monday. My wife is taking me away into the woods, not to chop me up, Pat, like you think. I heard that thought come through your head.
Is she taking you to a cabin in the woods?
No.
I've seen that documentary too.
Yeah, so. Exactly, right. No. we're getting away, unplugging. So next Tuesday when we come back, Truth or Fiction Tuesday is going to be a little bit different because I would have been unplugged almost all weekend. So Pat's going to tell me what happened while we were away. And we'll see if I can guess whether these things actually happened or not while I was away. So that's where we're going. Additionally, today we are expecting the announcement on Twitter. That's right. Elon Musk is interviewing Ron DeSantis, and he is expected to make his long-awaited, long-ballyhooed announcement of his official run for the president of the United States from the Republican Party. In that interview with Elon Musk, it's scheduled, I believe, for 5 or 6 o'clock Central Time. I'm not totally sure. I might or might not have access. And frankly, here's where I want to go with this, Pat. Is the actual announcement, does it matter?
No.
See,
we already know he's running.
Right. See, I thought that until I thought of this, Pat. There are two reasons why this announcement matters. Why is he announcing it on an interview with Elon Musk?
Well, I mean, a lot of people really like Elon Musk right now. So, I mean, there's an audience there.
Reason number one is that this is a transformative audience. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because what is he doing on Twitter? He's reaching the younger demographic, right? Yeah, there are older people on Twitter, but by and large, that demographic skews under 50, right?
Right.
He could have gone to Fox News. He could have gone, you know, conservative based, you know, whatever, right? Could have done the Tim Scott thing. Hold a massive rally. No, he's coming directly, speaking directly to you in Twitter spaces and utilizing technology in ways that other campaigns haven't. So that's number one. But number two, Pat, this belongs to the 4D chess game that MAGA Forever folks like to talk about all the time with Donald Trump. You know, he's the smartest man alive, right? Because he outfoxes people and he thinks in 4D chess while they're playing checkers, right? So, part of the agreement that Donald Trump has with Truth Social, right? Because this isn't his baby. This is like the people that were around him, right? They created this. And part and parcel of that was that Donald Trump would sign some sort of exclusivity with them, right?
Mm.
By announcing this on Twitter, can Donald Trump engage with this in real time?
No, he can't. I didn't even think about that. That's a great point.
He cannot engage with this in real time on Twitter, on the space in which, no pun intended, this event is taking place. Because his exclusivity agreement bars him from posting anything outside of Truth Social. Period. And if they want to post anything outside of Truth Social in a social media fashion, he must wait 6 hours after either posting it or putting something up about it. So the post has to live on Truth Social for 6 hours before that can happen. Now, can they change that agreement? Sure they could. But as of today, that language still exists in his contract. So to the 4D chess makers in the MAGA Forever crowd, I would suggest checkmate. Because Donald Trump isn't just going to crawl out of his Twitter hole and start tweeting. He can't. It would be a breach of his contract with Truth Social, in which there are significant penalties for doing so.
And then just correct me if I would imagine there are significantly less people on Truth Social than there are on Twitter.
Well, and I mean, here's the reality, right? The Truth Social crowd is the MAGA Forever, that.
Right,
total base, right? He's only going to be speaking to that crowd. If he was on Twitter, he'd be able to reach other crowds and magnify that speech, right?
Right. Right.
He can't do that. He physically cannot do it. Now, like I said, maybe he's willing to pay that economic price and break it, right? And break that agreement. But they sure as hell can sue him. The whole point of branding it Truth Social. The whole point of creating what they created is around the persona, around the aura of Donald Trump. And if Donald Trump isn't using it as his primary source anymore, what is the point? You know, we've seen Parler and Gab and all these other places, right? Their technology stack has sucked, right? It's not good. They've become useless places. It's just an echo chamber. At least Twitter is less of an echo chamber. You can make it an echo chamber if you want, but the way that Elon Musk has set up the For You page, right, on Twitter is things that you search, things that you engage in, profiles that you look at, right? Those get amplified. So it's only based off of your own activity. This is an absolute genius move by Ron DeSantis. Number one, who garners more interest right now in non-political spheres than Elon Musk? Nobody. Quite literally nobody. So when Elon Musk is doing an interview with a politician, people are going to listen and tune in. Not only that, Pat, but as we see Ron DeSantis making this move, we also get word this morning that one of the biggest donors to the Donald Trump campaign over the last 6+ years, right? So 2016 to now. One of the biggest donors has pulled out and is now officially backing Ron DeSantis with his dollars and cents and literally saying we cannot relitigate the past. We must move forward. We have to have a vision, a way of moving forward. And we can't do what Donald Trump did on that CNN town hall anymore. That can't be where we go. And this is a guy who stood by Donald Trump through thick and thin, through 2016, through 2020, right?
Yep.
So 6 years. Six and a half. Is this of Ron DeSantis' own making? Probably not, right? He's got a team behind him. But again, I will say this. Behind every great organization is a great team. A team. People who advise you correctly. People who you should take counsel of and listen to. Provide you with the right path going forward. And as a first step, look, I don't care about what he has to say. You're right in that respect, Pat. What he has to say, I don't think really matters. It's where he's saying it, how he's saying it, and more importantly, whom can't react to it in real time, in a manner in which most people will be able to pay attention. Now, is it possible? Is it going to be something in which other people will screenshot things? Because you know Trump won't stay away from Truth Social while this is going on, right?
Right, right. Of course.
And people will screenshot whatever he's going to put on Truth Social and blah, blah, blah. That's not the same as Donald Trump using his Twitter following to amplify this. This is brilliant maneuvering from a tech standpoint, from a whom the hell are we trying to engage with? It's people like you and me, Pat, that 45 and under, that 45 to 25, 25, 45, however you want to put it, crowd, that are technologically aware, that are engaged almost daily in social media and are by and large paying attention to Twitter if they're not active on it. He's also understanding how to use Twitter Spaces. We just saw Daily Wire Plus is now going to use Twitter to get their shows out for free. Although what I don't understand about that is if you can't monetize it the way that you think you can, why are you giving that away? Because what is the point of a subscription to Daily Wire Plus? You're giving away your biggest, your Matt Walsh's, your Ben Shapiro, Candace Owens, Andrew Klavan, Michael Knowles, right? All your big five shows are all going to be for free, readily available to anybody who wants to watch them on Twitter. Now, I would also suggest that we're looking at this as a potential way for Elon Musk to test spaces, to test how many people will view things and how they can interact with this on Twitter. I think you're going to see Twitter have a for you, a in a Twitter timeline like we're used to, right? And your follower one. But you're, if you're using the Twitter app, you're also going to find a space in which you can just scroll through videos, in which you no longer interact with the spoken word.
Fair enough.
Because he sees what TikTok is doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's transform that. And by the way, let's become the long form version of it. Let's compete with YouTube, right? We're going to be the free speech version of YouTube. 2 hours. You get 2 hours live. Is that worth $8 a month to a lot of people?
Hell yeah.
Hell yes, it is. If it can be done correctly. And I can tell you right now, we are exploring how we can possibly do this and make it live on Twitter as we go forward, how we can tighten up our show. So the only parts of this, again, to recap it, that matter is where it's happening, whom it's happening with, and whom can't react to it. That's it. If you want to talk 4D chess, this is about as close as you get to 4D chess for an opening statement. And it has nothing to do with anything that he is or isn't going to say. I don't even care. Really don't. What about you? Any thoughts really, there?
I don't really care what he, I mean, you laid out some great points that I never thought of, to be honest. I didn't even think about the whole implications of what this would have on the Trump campaign of having it on Twitter. You're right. It's an absolutely brilliant, brilliant move on the DeSantis campaign's part. I mean, did Ron DeSantis come up with that? Probably not. Probably not. That was completely his team advising him, like, this is what we should do. And the fact that Elon Musk has created a space where, you know, he's trying to promote free speech and things like that, and it's an open forum. Mm-hmm. So you can reach a lot of different people. Twitter's probably the best way to do it at this point. Other social media platforms like Facebook, for example, he's probably going to get throttled like crazy. So Twitter is probably the best place to do it. You mentioned Fox News and stuff like that before. At that point, you're just pandering to people that you're probably already going to get if you win the primary anyway.
Yeah, so, and we've seen you know, various videos. Like, look at Tucker Carlson, right? When he came out with his video post leaving Fox News, in less than 3 hours, 18 million people had viewed, or there were 18 right. million views on that, what, 3 minute video, 2 minute video, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Now,
I mean,
the question that remains there is, how do you monetize that, right? And I still think that needs to be figured out. Are there people who are going to want to advertise in certain spaces? And if Musk can figure out a way in which that can be monetized to the content creator's advantage, which has always been the struggle of Twitter, by the way. It's been a home for conversation, not content creation. And we're about to see that switch happen, I believe, in the next 6 months. And, you know, so it's going to be interesting. But I think this is the forefront of that, right? They're going to a place in which free speech is free speech. And Elon Musk is going to allow you to do that. And by the way, Elon Musk has given an open invitation to Joe Biden to show up and do the same thing. He's given an open invitation to everybody. I think, you know, Vivek Ramaswamy has had a Twitter spaces with some of the biggest names out there. You know, we've seen all of these things. So this isn't like a in-kind contribution type of a situation. This isn't somebody who's not going to challenge you. Elon Musk is more than willing to stand up to anything he thinks is not a good take. But all of that notwithstanding, Pat, we've got a lot to cover on this show. And speaking of statements, Target has been a target pre-Pride Month already, Pat. It's not even quote-unquote Pride Month. And they're feeling the pain at Target because they decided to, apparently now, pun really intended, take the tail of their dog and tuck it. And then got nailed for putting out things that were tuck friendly for kids and preteens. So look, what have people done? They've shined a light on it, right? They've shown the light and they made it as bright as humanly possible that this is what Target was up to. It's not that they, you know, pandered to the LGBTQ plus crowd, right? The alphabet soup crowd. It's not that they, you know, turned the red circle into a pride circle, right? Or had LGBTQ themed adult clothing, right? In the store. How about that? Is that they are literally targeting kids to tuck their junk or to extra wide their bathing suits. It's disgusting. It's terrible. It was awful, right? And they became a target of what? The people who said enough with this shit. Enough. No, we're not going to do it anymore. We're not just going to idly stand by and just watch you, you know, live and let live while you attempt to actively destroy children and turn them into completely sexualized beings. Target issued a statement after much consternation, Pat, about their decision to tuck their own tail. Quote, for more than a decade, Target has offered an assortment of products aimed at celebrating Pride Month. Since introducing this year's collection, we've experienced threats impacting our team members' sense of safety and well-being while at work. Given these volatile circumstances, we are making adjustments to our plans, including removing items that have been at the center of the most significant confrontational behavior. Our focus now is on moving forward with our continuing commitment to the LGBTQ alphabet soup crowd community and standing with them as we celebrate Pride Month and throughout the year. Your thoughts there, Pat?
If that was supposed to be a shift or an apology in their strategy, in what they're trying to how they're trying to market to people. That's kind of like what Bud Light did in the very beginning. It's not. just say you're sorry. Just do that. If you are selling these products to kids and you got caught with your hand in the cookie jar.
That's one way of putting it.
Right. Own it. Own it.
I mean, we're going to make you own it. It doesn't matter what you say in this statement, by the way.
Right.
We're going to make you own it.
At least if you're going to go, down, at least go down with some dignity.
Whoa. This is a family friendly show, Pat.
Get your head out of the gutter, bro.
Stop sexualizing children, bro.
I'm not sexualizing children, you dork. All I'm saying is if this is what you want to do as a business, own your shit.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. If this is what you believe is the right thing to do for your business, stand up, right? That's really what we're saying. We're literally to the Targets, to the Dodgers, to the Bud Lights of the world. Own it. Own it. Is this you? Is this what you really believe? Or is this you just pandering? Now, the thing that I found absolutely abhorrent about this statement, Pat, and maybe I missed this, or maybe I'm misinterpreting this a little bit. I don't know. But call me crazy. Did they just suggest that there were violent threats against their team members? Because I'm pretty sure that's exactly what they said.
Yeah, I kind of got that as well.
Whom? Where?
I haven't heard any stories.
Yeah. Have you? No, I haven't. What I have heard is people speaking very loudly on social media. Like, by the way, we're literally just seeing the left's blueprint, the absolute gender ideology crowd's blueprint turned on its head. That's what we're doing to you, by the way, to the left, to the gender ideology crowd. We are taking what you are doing and turning it on its head. You've done this for a decade plus now. How do you like them apples? And most importantly, the cause is righteous. That's the important part here. But to Target's statement, yeah, you're right, Pat. Own your shit, right? Own it.
Right.
And we're going to make you own it, and we are. But you can, right? You can make the blanket statement that you made about violence and team members' personal safety and security, right? You can make that claim, but you better be able to prove it. That's ridiculous. Nobody is sitting there saying, I'm going to violently confront, that 16-year-old on a summer job stocking the shelves. Hell no. That ain't happening.
Is this response coming into Target losing some money? Because a lot of people are.
That's where I was going with this. This is their cover story for losing an ass ton of money over the last couple of weeks, right? More important than that, though, Pat, what they don't tell you in that statement is that they're not just removing items from the store or putting them far away from the prying eyes of children, like in the back corners of their stores, right?
Right.
That's not what they're doing. They're doing that and removing your ability to buy those products online. If it's about the quote-unquote safety, right? Why are those products not available online anymore?
Fair enough. That's a fair question.
Now, by the way, this ain't over. Because it's very clear where Target stands on this issue. They're pro child sexualization. That's what they're pro. Because let's be very clear on this. And we've talked about this in the past. And in fact, I've talked to our audience about people that I know in my own life that are of that persuasion, right? Who readily admit that is a sexual persuasion. That is a sexual thing. Is it defining of who they are? It's part of whom they are, or, you know, their lifestyle, if you will, right? Or how they want to live life. That's part of it. It ain't all of it, but it's their sexual part of it, right? They'll readily admit that. So there's no part of this that is not sexual in nature. It's by its very definition sexual. It's your sexual proclivity and attraction. It would be akin to Target deciding they're gonna do something BDSM, right? They're gonna put out sadomasochist paraphernalia in their store. It's the same idea. That would be sexualizing children, right? If you found whips and chains and leather masks and chaps in the 7-year-old section at Target, would you say the same thing? I would certainly hope so. I would. This ain't over by a long shot. And what I really don't understand, Pat, is what is one of the biggest collections that Target has to its name right now, internally? One of the biggest name brands that exist that are sold in the Target stores.
See, here's the thing. I don't really shop at Target, so I don't know.
Do the names Chip and Joanna Gaines mean anything to you?
Oh, yeah, they do. Especially to my wife.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Their Magnolia product line is sold all over Target, right? You know, all the things that they put their Magnolia branding on. They haven't, in fact, the store that's closest to us here in the city, they have an entire section dedicated just to themselves, right? And that whole Magnolia's thing. It's literally a theme. And they sell their candles and their products and their dishes and all that stuff, right? Some of it looks great. Others is just, really? Are you serious? But hey, whatever. To each their own, right?
Right.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but Chip and Joanna Gaines are pretty Christian, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they decided to pull that product line from Target at some point in the near future.
Well, so Allie Beth Stuckey had a really good point, as much as I've disagreed with some of her stuff lately. I like Chip and Joanna Gaines, she says on Twitter, but I would respect them so much if they issued a statement about the satanic insanity being pushed by Target and used their huge influence to try to keep Target's madness in check. If they pulled their products, I would go buy all of them. It would be the best and smartest thing they ever did.
Yeah, I agree. Now, I actually 120% agree with that.
Now, I will say this, though. Some of what they and the church that they belong is more of the New Agey Christianity. And look, I've got my druthers with a lot of that, right?
Right.
But they have been very pro-family. They have been very much clear on that. And that's how they live their own family life, by the way. That's very clear from their shows, from their whatever. And by the way, have they been not inclusive with Magnolia Network, right? They've got people of all sorts of different persuasions all over that network, right?
Yeah.
So it's not as if they're just pushing their Christian worldview and making sure that nobody of their non-Christian worldview can have a space. That's not it. But they certainly have some influence and some sway at Target, because they are, whether Target wants to admit it or not, the biggest name brand that exists in their stores. The biggest. Everything Magnolia turns to gold, almost. I mean, look at the Magnolia Farm, right? The silos, right? Mm. Look at how big of a tourist attraction that's become for Waco.
Oh, yeah.
It's become huge. Back home.
My wife wants to go down there pretty bad.
So does mine, Pat. So maybe we can coordinate the four of us in the same space at the same time.
Yeah, sounds like a plan.
Yeah, yep. Sounds like a good plan. And maybe just coincidentally, there's a Baylor football game that weekend.
Maybe. That would be.
Anywho, so when I look at this Target statement, congratulations. You figured out that your bottom line actually matters, but lest you believe that they actually get what time it is, no, they don't. They don't care about that. They are simply attempting to mitigate disaster that they saw from Bud Light, while letting you know they're still not down to clown with Christianity, but they are down to clown with sexualizing kids. They're still there. In the struggle that you know, my wife and I have here, especially in the city of Chicago, is, you know, it's really difficult to find a store that has the similar products and the things that you need to buy at a Target, right? Because Walmart has basically pulled out of the city, right? So you don't have that kind of alternative. Do you buy all of that online? Where do you really go in a city in which you're kind of stuck with whatever is available to you, right?
Right.
There are very few options that exist for your, you know, bath products, your whatever, at a reasonable price point. Because if you were to go to Walgreens or CVS, right, you're going to up by a couple of dollars or $1.50 the price point on everything.
No, right.
So, you know, with Walmart's pulling out, with there's no Myers, there's no whatever, you'd have to go to, you know, you could go to Costco, right? Except for you're going to buy, you know, three packages of everything that you only need one of, right? And are you really saving money at that point? You know, so there's a lot of things that you have to think through. So while I don't want to support a company like that, can you limit what you buy there, right? That's where I think the reality of the situation is for a lot of people. Now, if you've got multitudes of options available to you, right? If there's a Meijer, if there's a Walmart, if there's the Target, if there's you know, whatever brand exists out west, right? If there are those options, do it, right? You can do it. Here in the city of Chicago, it's really difficult because there are no stores that really cater to, you know, those types of, you know, your personal care needs, your cleaning supply needs, and all that sort of stuff, right? It just doesn't exist. It's really hard to get. And are you buying that stuff online? Not really. Unless you're looking at a very specific brand, in which case that might not even be at Target. But hitting them in the pocketbook when you can and where you can is going to be important going forward. And we'll see if this statement does anything. I think it just galvanizes what people... This was a misstep. This was not... This is how you attempt to both sides an issue while pissing off both sides. A la Bud right. Light, by the way. And Bud Light did this wrong because they issued one statement and then they attempted to placate the other side, right? And then by placating the other side, they pissed off the side they were attempting to placate the first time with the Dylan Mulvaney Bud Light can, right? So they were attempting to market to that crowd, pissed off the other side, their main core audience. And then, by the way, oh, great, Dylan Mulvaney, pro-LGBT alphabet soup, right? Except for we just issued a statement saying, nope, we're really not that. It was just one post, so shut up. Oh, so you're really not with us? Well, now we're just going to pull our product off off of our bars and nightclubs shelves. Congratulations on that, right? This is another example of how to both sides an issue and piss them both off. Because if you're pro this, right, what do you read into that statement? That Target is doing what? Placating.
Right.
They're placating the other side, and can you stand that? This is the point of you cannot live and let live with an ideology that exists not to be able to be seen or heard, but exists to destroy your worldview, that exists to... And by destroy your worldview, I literally mean destroy your worldview. It's objective reality versus subjective reality, and right now, subjective reality is winning. The spirit of the age is winning. That is the reality in front of us. It is going to take us to take down, like, I mean long-term take down Bud Light, Budweiser, AB InBev, right? It is going to take us long-term to take Target down. Guess who that is really on? That's going to be on the white suburban mom crowd. And I'm not sure if they've got the stomach for it. Because a lot of them are not down to clown with Team GOP, right? And how many of them are really down to clown with real Christianity and not the Church of Me that they like to attend every weekend so that their kids can dress up and look cool and take the picture at church, right? Look at my kids and how cool they are. And look at how cool my family is. And I went to church and I heard this awesome music. Okay, what did they actually talk about? I don't know. Is that crowd really going to have a long-term desire to say, yeah, Target, nah, you're not good for my family. And I'm not down to clown with sexualizing my kids. Whether that is straight, gay, bi, anything in between, by the way. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Luckily, we've seen the vast majority of Bud Light drinkers go, yeah, nah, I'm good.
Yeah.
And we've seen that not because they're super strong masculine. No, it's because they're the group that has often drank that product understands what time it is right now and is largely engaged in that battle to begin with. Now, with that all being said, Pat, do you want to play the B or not the B?
Oh, sure.
Are you sure that we should do that?
I mean, if you have any doubts, we can skip it, but I'm totally fine with it.
And with that, hit me with a headline at least one time upside the head.
Oh, well, I mean, my pleasure then. California grants Lakers reparations of 10 extra points after playoff loss. California grants Lakers reparations of 10 extra points after playoff loss. Is this the be or not the be? And while you're thinking about that, Andrew Coppins, folks, it's almost Memorial Day. It's Wednesday. You know, if you need a pick-me-up to get you into the holiday weekend, may I suggest you go to coffeebrandcoffee.com. They, again, all sorts of great flavors over there. My recommendation always buy something you know you're going to like, and then buy a flavor that you haven't tried before but really wanted to try. Everything is freshly roasted and packaged and shipped right to your door. It's a local company right out of Farmington, Utah. They don't care about your politics. They don't care about your vote. They don't care about all this stuff that we just talked about. They really only want to do one thing, and that's make a great product that they can sell to anyone of any ideology or any political persuasion, if you will. They don't care about any of that. They don't want to insult you. They just want your business. That's it. And they, and in return, they will make you a great product. All you need to do is go to coffeebrandcoffee.com, promo code critical thinking at checkout, and you'll get 5% off your purchase today. That's coffeebrandcoffee.com, promo code critical thinking at checkout. You'll get 5% off your purchase today. All right. California grants Lakers reparations of 10 extra points after playoff loss. Is this the B or not the B?
I mean, obviously, this is the Babylon Bee because they lost by, what, 9 points? Something like that in that final game?
No, they, it was 113 to 111 victory.
Oh, I like I said, I couldn't tell you. But yeah, this is definitely the Babylon Bee. Also, LeBron James could just ride off into the sunset, and that would be great right now.
Well, there is talk about him possibly retiring. So, will that actually happen? I don't know. But anyway.
But you imagine how pissed off the NBA is to see Denver and who's from the East? Miami?
Well, no, they, we don't have a decision in the East yet. Boston won last night. So, it's either going to be Boston or Miami. Most likely Miami at this point.
Denver versus Miami? For the NBA final. You imagine what that's going to do to the ratings for an already struggling, by the way, struggling ratings for the NBA in the playoffs.
Well, well, yeah. So, like, I saw something, was it last night? The Denver Nuggets, they have, I mean, they have really only one all-star in Jokic. Mm-hmm. They had no MVPs this year. And basically, like, they just, they don't have the star-studded team that, like, the Lakers have or Boston has or anything like that. They don't. They have Jokic. And they have a lot of other really great role players around Jokic that make that team really good. I would also even argue with Mike Malone that that team is probably very well coached and is, you know, just able to match up well. So
yeah, I don't really care one way or the other.
I don't either, but I just, I found like, I'll have to go back and see if I can find the other stats, but I just found that fascinating. I'm like, oh, that's actually kind of cool.
Yeah, but nobody's going to pay
attention. You're right, the NBA is pissed.
Yeah, the NBA is pissed. Pissed. Because if they got Lakers Celtics, great for them, probably. Although I would suggest that Lakers people are kind of done with the NBA anyway. That's what the ratings are telling us, no matter what the matchup has been. So, all right. With that out of the way, Pat, it is time for us to get into the meat of WTF Wednesday. And I'm going to start with a statement from the senator, one of the senators from the great state of Florida. Senator Rick Scott has issued travel advisory for socialists visiting Florida. This is literally real. Today, Senator Rick Scott issued a formal travel advisory for all socialists visiting the state of Florida. The travel advisory comes in direct response to the Biden administration's attempt to erase capitalism and the system that has brought prosperity to Florida and the entire United States. The formal travel notice states Florida is openly hostile towards socialists, communists, and those that enable them. Before traveling to Florida, please understand that the state of Florida devalues and marginalizes the contributions of and the challenges faced by socialists and others who work in the Biden administration. Let me be clear. My attempts to spread the oppression and poverty that socialism always brings with, obviously this is fake, folks, will be rebuffed by the people of Florida. Travelers should be aware that attempts to spread socialism in North Florida will fail and be met with laughter and mockery, said former governor and now Senator Scott. However, in much of Central and South Florida, the situation is far more dangerous for socialists, as they may encounter people from Cuba, Venezuela, and other parts of Central and South America and the Caribbean who have direct knowledge of and experience with the horrors of socialism. Oh, that's how you mock and ridicule and scorn, folks.
Right.
So, I'm just going to put this here, Pat, because this is going to go into the category. These next two are going in the category of you probably shouldn't speak on somebody else's life when you are not of that life category. Beginning with our fine friends at The View. And by the way, how the hell is this a show that anybody pays attention to, let alone like watches like in person, like wants to go and watch, you know, pay money to buy a ticket to?
Isn't it the liberal suburban mom Karen crowd that watches it?
Yep. But like I mentioned up front, Joy Behar has decided to tell black men what a black man's experience is.
And he's one of these guys who, you know, he's like Clarence Thomas, black Republican, who believes in pulling yourself by your bootstraps rather than, to me, understanding the systemic racism that African-Americans face in this country and other minorities. He doesn't get it. Neither does Clarence.
Right.
And that's why they're Republicans.
Yeah.
I know.
Oh, the punchline.
And that's why they're Republicans.
did she seriously just tell basically two prominent black men on national television what it's like to be black?
More specifically, that they don't know what it's like to be black, Pat.
But a white woman knows better of what it's like to be black than two black men.
Right, because you see, she has the ideology that black people need to think. Right? So her ideology is the only way that a black person can think. This is the most racist bullshit I have ever heard.
Furthermore,
you mean to tell me, Pat? I mean, seriously, let's think about this. Clarence Thomas grew up where? The Jim Crow South.
Yeah.
He literally lived through your ancestors being an absolute racist piece of trash, Joy Behar. And by the way, you're just perpetuating that same racism. And yet he rose, check this out, Pat, by educating himself, by climbing up the ladder himself, right? All the way from that to the United States Supreme Court, to arguably the most recognizable name on the United States Supreme Court today. I would guarantee you, Pat, that 9 out of 10 people probably get Clarence Thomas if they're asked to name the Supreme Court justices.
Also, we've seen Whoopi Goldberg get in trouble for saying weird racist things or even anti-Semitic things before on The View. How is it that Joy Behar still has a position on The View after a racist commentary like that? How?
I have no idea.
Well, you already answered it. It's the ideology. Yeah. It's still racist. But it's okay because it's also within the ideology that they practice. So it's by default in their view not racist, even though it actually is racist. Ugh. Had joy.
And by the way, Tim Scott is a product of a broken home, right? Mm. A product of a mother who had to work 16 hours every single day to support a family of him and his older brother, who, by the way, I don't know if he still serves, but I believe his brother is or was a sergeant major in the U.S. Army. Okay. So she raised two black men who decided to serve the country, to serve the state of South Carolina, where racism is rather rampant, right? Now on the decline, but still a thing that people have to deal with, right?
Right.
He's one of only 11 African Americans to ever become a senator in the United States of America. And you're going to tell him what it's like to grow up? It turns out that these two people are the worst examples of what you want to say, right? They are the antithesis of what you believe. They are literally the proof that any individual of any persuasion, of any race, creed, ethnicity, right, can achieve anything here that they wouldn't be able to in most parts of the world, by the way. I just, what in the hell?
If it had been any other show or any other network, Joy Behar'd be gone.
Yeah, I don't know how she's still around. But we now go from a white woman telling us what it's like to be a black man in only certain ways to a man telling us what a woman is.
Okay, so this is going to get a lot of people mad, but the harsh reality is that trans women are actually biologically women. I know it's like super shocking, but the most important sex-determining organ in your body is actually your brain. And there's a lot of research to show that trans women have brains that are very much in alignment with our gender identity. I know, shocker. So anybody that runs around and tries to tell you, sex and gender, it's so different. The truth is, it's a lot more complicated than that. And anybody who tries to call trans women biological males are coping and seething. So you should make fun of them.
Yes, Pat, you seem to have some confused look on your face. If you were watching on rumble.com/critical thinking, rumble.com/critical thinking.
We are not okay.
No, we're not. And also,
we are, Pat, not okay.
But so I was thinking about this when I first saw this, when you brought it to me. By that logic, are we not chimpanzees? Why can't I be a chimp? Because research shows that we are biologically 99% the same.
Well, screw you. I want to be an orangutan.
You can't. That's only 98% or so.
Why?
Chimpanzees are our closest mammalian relatives biologically, Pat.
But, bro, I have red hair. Orangutans have red hair.
Moving on. Yeah, do you see my point, right?
No, I get your point. I absolutely
no shit
point.
That no shit, literally, that you are, that the brain of a woman is similar to the brain of a man. No shit. And oh, by the way, we know about what, maybe 10% of the information about our brains, how they work, how they function, what is and isn't similar. What is and isn't the same. You know, just 50 years ago, people believed that your race meant that your brain was different, right?
Well, I mean,
think about that, right? Your brain was different if you were black. What?
Correct me if I'm wrong, though. We only use about 10% of our brain.
No, I mean, we don't know that.
Yeah.
That's my point.
Well, I guess we don't know for sure.
But. It's the scientific assumption today. Now, here's the thing. If we're 99% same as a chimpanzee, Pat, right? Is it that 1% that matters? Hell yeah. Hell yes, it is. And furthermore, if a biological woman or a biological man and a biological woman's brains were exactly 99% the same, Wouldn't that 1% matter? Because could that 1% be the thing that makes you different? Hell yeah.
Yeah.
This is the dumbest bleep I have heard in a long, long time. I can't even take it that seriously.
Did you just suggest in a roundabout way that Planet of the Apes is theoretically possible?
No, I did not. And let's move forward. Because, Pat, look, we're getting into the silly season of sports, right, where people are clamoring for college football to come back. The NFL OTAs are starting and people are salivating over what Aaron Rodgers did or didn't do and who is and isn't showing up because, oh, my God. But the doldrums are finally upon us. And we're waiting till the fall. So naturally, you know, they're scraping the bottom of the barrel like they always do for content. Places like 24/7 Sports or On3 or Rivals or ESPN, right? Well, On3, which is one of the recruiting and fan websites that exist, right? It's by the same people who created Rivals and then created 24/7 Sports, and I've now moved on to On3. Okay. So they just continue to create places for people to create content, right? That's literally it's hilarious. It's like what the hell? But anyway, they decided to come up with the top 10 list, Pat, of college football quarterbacks since the year 2000. And this is their top 10. College football quarterback since 2000. Starting at number 10, Robert Griffin III from Baylor. Number 9, Marcus Mariota of Oregon. Number 8, Lamar Jackson of Louisville. Number 7, Kyler Murray of Oklahoma. Number 6, Deshaun Watson of Clemson. Number 5, Joe Burrow of LSU. Number 4, Tim Tebow of Florida. Vince Young at number 3 from Texas. Cam Newton of Auburn at number 2. And Baker Mayfield of Oklahoma at numero uno.
I so disagree with this list.
Yeah, I highly disagree with this list. Like,
is there anyone quarterback on this list
pre-2004? Mm-hmm. No, which is batshit crazy to me.
Is there anyone that does belong on that list, though?
That doesn't?
No, that does.
Yeah, so I wrote down a list. That you might be able to see right here. I wrote a list. That includes names like, I don't know, Kyle Orton of Purdue.
Yeah.
How about Andy Dalton of TCU, Pat?
Oh, yeah, that's another good one.
Yeah, just that mediocre Andy Dalton TCU career that, oh, wait, him and LaDainian and Tomlinson put TCU on the freaking map. How about Matt Ryan, that weird quarterback from Boston College?
Boston College?
Yeah. You know who else? Remember Vanderbilt? Oh, nobody knows Vanderbilt football except for Jay Cutler. How about Brady Quinn from, I don't know, Notre Dame?
Notre Dame. Mm-hmm.
Wait for this name, Pat. Troy Smith of Ohio State.
I was actually going to mention that one.
Who literally put them on his own back.
Craig Krenzel.
No, I would not.
National championship.
I would not put that name on my list.
Won a national championship.
How about, I don't know, this weird number 8 from Cal. Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, that's another good one.
How about these names, Pat? Colt Brennan. Who only passed for, wait for this, 14,000 yards, rushed for over 500 yards in his career, in a run-and-shoot offense, by the way. Also, 131 touchdowns to just 42 interceptions, 15 rushing touchdowns, by the way. So if you add them all together, that's over 145 touchdowns in a four-year career. And oh, by the way, it's really only 3 years for him. How about let's just Andrew Luck?
Okay, yeah.
Eli Manning. That ring a bell?
Yeah.
How about Philip Rivers?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Took NC State almost to what? The college football bowl series playoff thingy before it was really a playoff, right? He almost right. did that at NC freaking State, right? How about Sam Bradford from Oklahoma?
Yeah, that was another good one. Another
how
good
about
one.
Matt Leinart? One of arguably, if not the non-Vince Young greatest quarterback of the early 2000s?
What about, would you put Mark Sanchez in that list?
Hell no, I would not.
Okay, just curious.
Carson Palmer, I would put on that list.
Yeah, Carson Palmer, yeah.
There's another Texas quarterback, Colt freaking McCoy. Again, Vince Young on that list. Cam Newton, yeah, that belongs on the list. Tim Tebow belongs on this list. But again, my biggest druthers is Tim Tebow at number four. Because look, I can make an argument that almost every one of the names that I mentioned, plus the names that are on this list, belong somewhere on the greatest quarterbacks of the 2000s, right? Whether you want to rank the top 25 or the top 10. But whom am I taking out of this list, right, Pat? So let's go ahead and take a look at this list one more time. And again, I would take Marcus Mariota off of this list.
Absolutely, I would.
I would take Kyler Murray. I would take Joe Burrow off of this list. Because
but they're not even this is since 2000. So
Yeah,
I think I would agree with both of those.
I would not take Robert Griffin III off of this list, nor Lamar Jackson, nor Deshaun Watson, nor Tebow, or Young, or Newton, or Mayfield. I wouldn't take any of those names off the list. So here would be my list, right? I would absolutely throw in Colt Brennan at number 10.
Okay.
I would put Robert Griffin III at number 9.
Okay.
Okay. I would also put Matt Leinart at number 8.
Okay.
I would move Lamar Jackson up to number 6. Or number 7, excuse me. I would then put, where was it? I would put Andrew Luck at number 6. I would put Deshaun Watson at number 5. At number 4 is Cam Newton. At number 3, Baker Mayfield. At number 2, Vince Young. And at number 1 is Tim freaking Tebow. There's no way in hell that he is not the quintessential quarterback of the 21st century. He is the person who you see the RPOs, you see the run heavy offensive quarterbacks, right? You see the quarterback that exists today in college football because of Tim Tebow. Now, did he have the strongest arm? No.
No.
Does he have the arm pedigree of some of these others? No. But let's just put it this way. What value do you hold on winning, 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 and winning some more? I put a shit ton of value on that. That's why Matt Leinart's on this list, by the way. That's why Colt Brennan's on this list, because let's not forget, folks, Colt Brennan took the University of Hawaii, Pat, not just the stat numbers, took the University of Hawaii into the bowl series. Put them in the Sugar Bowl, for crying out loud. Now, they got run off the field in that game. Had nothing to do with Colt Brennan, by the way. It had everything to do with the fact that that Hawaii defense was god-freaking-awful against Oklahoma, right? It was Oklahoma that they played, right?
Sure. I don't remember.
I have this machine that will allow me to look it up.
Okay. I think I disagree with the placement of Deshaun Watson and Andrew Luck. I think I'd probably flip the two, personally.
It was Georgia. That's who it was.
Okay.
I knew it was team in red.
That's just personal preference. Oh, by the way, wouldn't what's his face? Matthew Stafford be on that list?
Yeah, I mean, I could put Matt Stafford on that list. I could recency bias put what's his nuts from the last 2 years? Stetson Bennett on that list. He won back-to-back national championships with very different parts, right?
For that matter, what about CJ Stroud? Or even Bryce Young?
Yeah, the point is there are a lot of really great names that could be on this list, but to suggest that Cam Newton and Baker Mayfield were the best quarterbacks we have ever seen in the 21st century, way, man. Totally, I would take Tim Tebow every day and twice on Saturday over Cam Newton. Baker Mayfield, you can make an argument that he was Tim Tebow with a better arm. You can make that argument as far as college quarterbacks go, right? The thing that bothers me about putting some of the names that are on this list on it is that it seems to also include what they did in the NFL. In some cases, it seems that On3 is discarding it. In other cases, their name is on it because, well, they had a better NFL. Name one quarterback better than Andrew Luck with a better NFL pedigree on that list. There ain't one.
There is a one.
Excuse me. So I found it fascinating, but what in the F is this list? This list is jacked beyond belief for me.
There's a lot of names I would take off and replace with. A lot of them.
Yeah, like what? Like, I mean, for me, Deshaun Watson as a college quarterback, people easily forget the fact that Clemson was Clemson his entire 4 years. He was Clemson, right? He got them that national championship.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I do think, you know, some of the names that you mentioned have to be on that list over some of those other ones. Cam Newton is certainly further down the list for me. So is Baker Mayfield. I know I'm biased, but I absolutely would put Troy Smith on that list. I would probably put him towards the bottom as well. I think Andrew Luck should probably be a little higher, but you know, that's just me.
Yeah, that's fine.
I also, because like growing up, you know, in the 90s and then also in the early 2000s, watching the game and stuff like that, I can't think of a player that has fundamentally changed the game of college football and at the quarterback position more than Tim Tebow.
Yeah, and so, on top of that, he won, right? Right. He took Aaron freaking Hernandez in that mismatch of misfits, right? And won. Somehow got them every single Saturday to win and did it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Yeah, I think you can't overemphasize his importance to where college football is today. If there is no Tim Tebow, there is no way in hell college football is where it is today.
No way.
No way in hell. But to speak to the strength of the quarterback position in college football since the year 2000, names like Kyle Orton are not even in this discussion, or Aaron Rodgers, or Matt Ryan, for crying out loud. Wow.
I don't know. That's another one. I don't know how you don't put him in that conversation, because look at what he did. I mean, that was the best team Boston College, I think, has ever had.
No, not the best team they've ever had. That was Doug Flutie's era. But
you're right. Yeah.
But in our lifetime, maybe in your lifetime, my lifetime, Doug Flutie existed. But I was very young. I wouldn't have remembered it. But like, I mean, Sam Bradford's not even in consideration. Leinart, Carson Palmer, Colt McCoy, Eli Manning. People forget how good he was at Ole Miss, right? But that top five is absolute hot garbage for me.
Yeah.
Anywho, your final thoughts, Pat, as we head towards Memorial Day weekend and shut the show down until next Tuesday.
Well, it's going to be very simple. Don't get lost. Remember who you are. No means no. And please remember all of those that have sacrificed for our freedom, for our liberty, and for this great country this weekend.
And as somebody who has multiple veterans in their family, I will say this. Don't think a vet today or tomorrow or this weekend. It's not about them.
Right.
That's Veterans Day.
Right.
It is about those who paid the ultimate sacrifice. So go pay them a visit at their graves, at their, you know, grave sites, at the Vietnam memorials or at whatever's going on in your local community, pay respect to those who paid the ultimate price. So don't think of that. Thank those who are in the ground, those who are in the mausoleums, those who are on the walls with their names inscribed in or etched in to something. Because they're the ones who gave us what we have. And with that, folks, please be smart, be safe, be kind. Make sure you eat all of your meals and then some this weekend. And as always, Matthew, 547.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.